This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Hello, Jake. Jake's in first all time. A few minutes past 1 p.m., we have Amy, of course. Ronj is out until tomorrow.
Yep.
Right?
Back tomorrow.
Michael Kelly sitting in with us. That's his handsome face there.
Hey, now.
Rach and I just had quite an experience.
Ooh.
So every day before the show, weather permitting, we take a little walk, and we usually go around Soldiers Memorial. And we were doing that today. And Rach spotted the guy first, but there was a gentleman who was half on the grass, half on the sidewalk, face down. He had obviously just thrown up, and he was just like, you know, spit coming out of his mouth, and he was yelling, "Help me, help me." So we go over to help him, and he was asking for something to drink, and so Rach called 911. And before they got there, it took them 10 minutes, something like that. A very nice woman from St. Patrick's Center pulled up. So Rach thought maybe they have like a police scanner.
Yeah.
And so she had a little thing of Gatorade. And so we gave that to him and like, hey, just hold on. Hang in there. And at one point, he's face down. He's not moving. And so then when the first responders, when the sirens come, because now the homeless people are hanging out at Soldiers Memorial, which I don't like. I know they're living people and this is a memorial to not living people, but I just don't like that.
Well, it's also a place where tourists come. Mm-hmm. Like people come to visit the war memorial. That's the last thing you want
is
chaos.
So then three or four people, homeless people from the Soldiers Memorial come walking over and they're yelling at the guy because we called the law on him. And so it wasn't like they weren't threatening us or anything, but it was very clear that we had messed up their system and that this guy had messed up their system. So they clearly didn't care at all because they were watching, didn't care at all that this guy was in extremis. They did care that now the cops are coming. And it was just such a downtown experience. And so we walk back, we're kind of just, you know, commiserating about it, and we get in our office, and then Rach spots him flat out on the sidewalk on the other side of Soldiers Memorial. And when the ambulance drivers got there, they said, like, within honestly 30 seconds, he says he has a sore stomach and he doesn't want any help. And that was it. So
you, again, I'm not trying to make fun, but it's crazy. You guys are there and you're hearing someone say, "I need help," essentially.
Someone's screaming, "Help."
And then
me.
When there are professionals there saying, "I don't want help."
Yep.
Yeah, it was incredibly upsetting, honestly. I was on the phone with 911 and I was just kind of panicking. I'm sorry, Dave, if I was freaking out, but I was scared that I was going to witness someone die on the sidewalk on 14th Street. And it was just really, really bizarre whenever his pals, I guess, came over and they were like, oh, man, really? You called the law? It's like, I didn't want him to die. That's why I called. I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. I'm not trying to mess anything up. I just didn't want to see this person die on a sunny Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, there's a difference between someone laying in one of the parks passed out from drugs or something, because we see that all the time. Sometimes we stop, sometimes we don't, quite frankly. But when someone is lying in their own vomit yelling, help me, I mean, I can't walk past that.
How would you?
No.
At the very least, you make the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you don't know what else to do, you can do, I mean, that's common sense.
It's frustrating. It's sad. It's emotional. Like you said, I've been downtown for 25 years, lived down here, have my office down here. 25 may be an exaggeration, 20. I can tell you, I still see some of the same homeless people that I saw 20 years ago are still there. I do see some changes. For a while in my neighborhood, we used to have the Reverend Rice's place, and this drug, some type of thing they were smoking, the homeless folks were smoking, was causing them to turn into like zombies and stuff. And it's really startling. Like, we would do the same thing, and was doing it like 5 and 6 times in a day for folks. And often my experience when you did call for help was exactly what you experienced. I don't want anything. Because I guess that puts them in a system, et cetera. It's a sad reality of being in downtown. And
yeah, the lady, who obviously knew what was going on, said, next time just call 911 and say they're somewhat unresponsive. And then they'll just send the ambulance. But if you give them any more detail, they'll send the firefighters and the police. And then the police will drug test them and arrest them.
So that's why he doesn't want the help.
Yes.
Because
And his buddies obviously didn't want the smoke. They didn't want the cops down there rousting them out or, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though.
Totally.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I can't remember the last time we didn't have a big homeless problem downtown, but and Rach has made this point, and it's kind of the point, and Amy, I think you have too. It's not even so much that there are so many homeless people. It's that there are so many more homeless people than not homeless people.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do wonder, like, when you look at our homeless population, we're not L.A. We don't have 60,000 homeless people or whatever it is. It feels like it should be manageable. It feels like, yes, there's more homeless people than non-homeless people walking around. It feels like downtown. But it's not like swarms. There are so many. No, it feels like when you look at how many homeless people are downtown, it feels like, shouldn't we certainly, especially with all the money we're getting, be able to fix this? But I think it goes back to how complicated homelessness is. Yes, some homeless situations, it's just a person hitting really hard times with no social capital to turn to. But a lot of times there are addictions and drugs and mental illness and refusal to get help. And you can't force someone to get help. You can't force someone to receive help. So I just keep going back to this story that I saw. I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or something. One of those news stories where a woman's job is to walk around this park and talk to the homeless people, try to build a relationship. And she worked every day and she talked to this one homeless gentleman every day. It took 3 years to finally convince him to get help and that, you know, let's work on addictions and mental illness and all of that. And the moral was, if it took this woman 3 years to work with this guy, we're in trouble. It's going to be hard to fix this situation because it's not so simple as, well, they just need housing. It's not that simple. I know it sounds nice to say that's all they need is housing. A lot of these people don't have the skill sets or the ability to get, you can't get off drugs by yourself. You need help. But if you refuse help, we can't force the help. It's so multifaceted.
Yeah.
I mean, getting rid of homelessness would be like saying you're going to get rid of mental illness.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to, because that plays a lot into it. Whether it's the like the quote unquote serious diagnosed ones, or just quote unquote regular, you know, mental illness combined with drug use. Mm. But like, that stuff is a lot of what's at the root of why someone is in that position. Well, how do you get rid of that? Because if someone, the guy today does not want help. He doesn't want help mostly because of the trouble. But when we've talked to people over the years here on KMOX from St. Patrick's Center and other shelters and things. And a lot of people don't even want to stay in the shelters because there are rules. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to live by those rules. And of course, the one runs probably, we don't want the drugs in the shelter. I mean, you've got a whole homeless encampment down Tucker right there at the entrance to 70.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and it is now, again, if there's going to be a spot for that, that's probably not a bad spot, because they're not by the ballpark. They're not by in a place where they're going to need to be moved because there's nothing there that they're disrupting. But that encampment's getting big.
It is big. I saw it for the first time coming back from Illinois the other night. Look, I'm a liberal here, so I don't want to sound too harsh, but I think we are enabling a lot of this behavior as well. I mean, there's more services in St. Louis than I can ever remember there being. And I think we've, you know, whether it be allowing the campouts or whatever, I think we've given folks the right to be over at Soldiers Memorial, et cetera, and setting up, and we should have empathy for our unhoused neighbors, et cetera. And I think that's really coming from the city. You couple that with the fact that we really don't have any law enforcement, and anybody who's downtown doesn't see that much law enforcement. I think we've enabled it, and I don't know that it's any worse than it's ever been. I think that we're allowing it to go on. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, we're not.
I think I was not really alive then, but my understanding is that, like, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, if someone, you know, it would be like a cop saying, move it along.
Yep.
You know, or the guys in the white coat showing up and taking you to some sort of the sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just letting people be there.
Right.
I mean, they were just like getting them off the streets.
And then we were putting up porta potties, and then we were allowing encampments to set up, et cetera. And it just, no, if there were no other services available, if we didn't have St. Patrick's Center, the Biddle House, and all of these services here, I would say, let's build a tent camp. Let's let people. The reality is, these people, this is what they want to do. They want to camp out, and we're allowing it to happen. And we got to live with the consequences.
Do you guys think there's a connection between what you're talking about and then things like the brawls at Keener Plaza and people just taking over intersections in downtown? And, you know, I don't know what you call it when they're just spinning their cars in circles, but there was apparently a shooting at one of those things.
Yeah, there's like video of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, these things are happening literally all the time. And there's this huge brawl with what was it, maybe 100, 150 people?
I said like a couple hundred, but I don't know. I'm bad at estimating, and there's but just, it looks like a couple
there's
hundred.
There's no, eventually police cars showed up, but by then a lot of it's already over. And what are eight guys going to do? Or I think it was six officers. What are six officers going to do when it's 200 people?
Yeah, and it's Keener Plaza.
Yeah, it was like, Keener Plaza.
Right there, and they're like spinning.
There was video, I think, was from the Ballpark Hilton, which, again, is one of your biggest downtown hotels.
And this is the problem when we get told that crime's going down in the city of St. Louis. That may be the case, but we're not experiencing it. I got that video sent to me from three different places. Somebody who had a friend who was staying in the hotel, the guy who owned the hotel, and somebody who happened to be downtown all sent it to me. And I think our problem in downtown is getting worse, because we've allowed lawlessness and there is no police presence. And so even if we were to get right-sized back to where we're supposed to be with police officers, I think we've made this playground of nonsense in downtown such that you're going to have to come in with double the force to get back control.
Well, yeah. And you're right about it being a playground, because I know the mayor was saying, well, a lot of these, you know, young people with guns and cars, they're not from the area. I'm like, that's right.
Because they know where to go.
Everybody knows where to go. Everybody knows where you can go to get away with it.
Yes.
I'm going to sound a million years old now, but when I was that age, we were going places like bars and clubs, there aren't any downtown.
No.
They're coming down here because they know this is where you go to get away with crimes.
Yeah, because you know that even if you get caught, you're probably not really getting caught. Like, if it gets broken up, you just take off.
And that was really interesting, Rach. I don't know if you clocked this, but, I mean, I see lawlessness almost every day.
Right.
And it goes completely unchecked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet, these guys seem to know pretty sure that if a cop gets involved with this guy who seems to be on drugs, he's going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, I would much rather get the people doing donuts at 2 in the morning and causing giant brawls than that guy to get in trouble.
Yeah, and I would assume that that's because there's some sort of like straightforward procedure as far as like this
right.
is how we yeah. handle this whenever we come across a situation like that. The brawls are like Wheels said, what are six officers going to do in a situation like that?
I mean, we saw the thing outside the wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. There's three guys there wearing uniforms that say police and nobody's stopping. Mm-hmm. They're all still fighting because you can't stop everybody.
You can't. No, yeah.
I mean, you just can't do it. You're outnumbered. So, and again, the whole point is preventing it from the beginning, is making it known that if you want to try to do these things, you are going to get caught because you have, but not having any presence. They just know this is a vacant lot, essentially, where you can come down and do whatever you want. And odds are you just leave at the end of the night.
Yeah. Nope. I agree. Welcome back, DGS 125. So you know how when we do a ruling, it's like, hey, I'm confused. Am I right or wrong? I know I'm wrong. It's just a matter of how wrong I am. Okay? So if you've watched any of the Cardinals spring training games, I call him the little ump. There's this little kid that stands right behind home plate, you know, behind the fence, and he's dressed completely in ump attire.
Yeah.
He's got everything the ump has on.
Yeah.
And he's calling the balls and strikes. And he's got the face mask. He's got the whole thing. Now, let me say first, this is exactly the kind of dork crap I would have done. Okay? So I'm not judging him on that because I did way stupider things than this. But my dad would have smacked the back of my head and say, you look stupid, and would have made me take it off. I feel like someone needs to do this little kid a solid.
Oh. How old is
yeah,
he?
How old is he?
10 or 12.
Yeah, so he looks somewhere in that 10 to 12 range.
He's not 4.
Okay, so he's not
Yeah, it's
four.
Not a tiny little guy. No. This is a guy that he's 11, I think. 11, yeah. But this is a sentient being.
Do him a favor. Do the kid a solid.
Yeah.
Help him to not do this anymore.
I'm kind of with you. Like it's a little bit too look at me when you're going to stand at the bottom of the aisle right behind home plate. Because you're just trying to get attention. If it's a little kid, like, he's in his seat way up high and he's doing all that because he just wants to be an umpire, I mean, all right. At some point, like, when you're just going right down by the wall that is leading up to the field where you know the center field camera's picking you up. Again, not on the kid. I agree. He's a kid.
He's a kid.
This is where an adult needs to go, hey, listen, the show's not about us. We're fans here. Let's not be drawing all this extra attention. You did it for an inning, maybe, whatever. I all right, it's fun. I get it. I want the kid to have fun. I don't want to crap on an 11-year-old kid doing that, but there are boundaries.
Is it disruptive?
Not really. I mean, if you look at it on the TV camera, he's dead center in the picture.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking at it from where the mound is looking at home plate, he's off to the side a little bit. He's not directly in the line of sight of the pitcher. So it's not like he's a distraction for the pitcher, I wouldn't think.
Because I would say, if you're 11, if you're a disruption to other fans or like the game itself, you're old enough to know you want to be polite and not be a disruption just
yeah.
for attention.
And looking at it, it doesn't look like he's really getting in anybody's view.
Yeah.
I just want someone to save the kid from a life of dorkdom.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
All I'm saying.
That's fair.
I'm not talking about disrupt nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
I got you. Just, yeah.
Rules.
Save this kid.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 133. One more thing about Little Lump.
Yes.
I just want everyone to understand why this is so meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was that age, I did something even worse. So I found this on eBay the other day. It's called like a something-o-matic. And it's like a little handheld thing with numbers and clickers, and it counts up. It could be a grocery thing, but I decided that I was going to be the umpire for my Sandlot games in my neighborhood, and I would be able to, you know, click off balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the dork kind of thing little Dave was into. And I was not only a ball player, I was one of the best ball players, and I love playing ball, but for an entire summer, I just insisted on being the ump. And my friends didn't think it was cute or cool. They're like, we don't need an umpire, we need a shortstop.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
catch the ball.
Hey, take that off the field, son. You know, just like, oh. And I just look back, and I want to fold up into a tiny square and someone burn me up. Like, it just, I'm so cringy about it. And so when I see another kid doing it in 2025 style, I'm like, I know you. I know you.
I also think in 2025, we have something that we didn't have as much of in the past, which is maybe, like, too supportive parents, right? Like, you want to be supportive to your kids. You want to encourage them and their interests. But like time and place, right? Like if you're supportive of your kid going down and pretend umping in the middle of the camera or whatever on a Major League Baseball game, that's, you're being too supportive. You're being too encouraging. It's okay to be like, listen here, you little weirdo, you're not gonna go do that.
You could, somewhere in between.
I mean, yeah, I was gonna say, embarrass the family.
You can just say, hey guys, you know, hey son, little ump buddy. Yeah, this is a place where people paid money to watch a game. They're not there to watch us. We're going to stay in our seats.
Yeah, you got to be a little mean to them. You got to keep them humble.
Keep them humble. Andrew. You got to shame them a little bit.
You got to keep them humble.
Yeah.
Janelle says, are we sure the parents aren't shoving him out there to get attention?
I mean, that's the other thing.
That's a good point.
It's somewhere between Janelle and Andrew.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like a stage parent kind of thing. Like, oh, get out there. Everyone loves it.
You're going to go viral,
sweetie. Yeah. You're going to go viral and make us a bunch of money.
He's going to be, what's that other... We had Baby Gronk, and then you got what's the other little kid?
The Rizzler.
The Rizzler. And now you got the Umpster.
And my mom and dad,
and Big Justice,
circa 1974, tried to stop me, but I broke them. I just flat out broke them. They couldn't keep up with my dorkness. And so here I am. Another thing, I found out today, so I'm 60. 60 is a weird age. You're not young, you're not old, it's just weird. But I found out something, Wheels. I'm young enough to fight.
Yeah.
I'm young enough for young men to want to fight me.
Yes.
Because there's an age, I don't know what that age is.
I think it's more of a look.
Yeah. But there's definitely men old enough.
Yeah, yeah.
That young guys will go, I'm sorry,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, we're not fighting.
And I was at a gas station today, and a young guy was having a rough day, and he was just yelling at everybody. And then I'm pumping my gas, and I forget what he said. It was kind of funny. He was like, oh, Mr. Tattoo, are you going to get involved in this?
There's nothing better than just, there's no greater insult than just describing something that's true.
Yeah,
like, oh, right. Mr. T-shirt. You know, like, it's not an insult.
Like, I am wearing a T-shirt. Thank you.
It feels like one. It's just brutal.
Yeah.
So, this what'd
long
you say?
Hair, it's like,
I just kind of laughed. I'm like, no, I'm good. It's 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, so he was trying to start some crap?
Yeah. But I drove away laughing, so I'm like, hey, look at that. That guy thought I was young enough to fight.
You're worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that about Dave. He's like, so he thinks I'm young.
So he thinks I'm hot.
He thinks I'm like the pretty cool guy with tattoos. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Like, he's
not
like,
bad.
No, it's 8:30. Of course I don't want to fight, but like, what made you want to fight?
Yeah.
Who do you think would have won?
Who do you think
I'd be like
won?
Tough to fight? Yeah,
let's be honest, though. The tattoos are going to extend your window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people do...
Associate.
I mean, a bald guy with tattoos is going to be a guy that people are thinking, that guy can fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they get out of a new four-door Jeep.
Yeah, that's true.
Not exactly a fighting car.
Flex. I don't know. It's not like
I do.
It's not like you're getting out of a Ford Fiesta.
Getting out of the Jeep going, this one's got a radio and everything.
A Jeep is more of a fighting car than like a Prius or something.
Yeah. On the level of fighting cars, that would be in the top half, at least.
I don't know. Again, my old Jeep was a fighting Jeep.
Yeah.
Whoever gets out of a Jeep in 10-degree weather with no windows, you're like, I'm not fighting this guy.
Yeah. I saw a commercial last night for the like full-size Jeep that have three rows.
Whoa.
And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a Jeep anymore at that point, right?
Say that again?
A Jeep with three rows in it. Have you seen these?
I've not. No.
They're just calling it like full size.
Well, for 14 years, I drove my two-door Jeep, and I was very judgmental and salty about people in four-door Jeeps. Like, when they would wave at me, I'd be like, I guess I'll wave at you. But you don't deserve it.
But you're not hardcore.
Yeah. So now, here I am.
Yeah. Mm.
How the mighty have fallen.
Mm. Yeah, but you're still fightable, Dave.
That's true. At least by a crazy 30-year-old in Quick Trip.
What has your day been like that you're ready to fight at 8:30?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Is it
probably
the end of your
started
day?
With some substances and
yeah.
I should have just ran as fast as I could straight at him, just screaming and waving
See
my
what
arms.
He did?
Yeah, you have to run,
waving your.
I don't know,
arm,
man.
Like he's a bear.
I don't know, man. Put it this way:
I'm
if
making
they,
myself
if,
big.
Put it this way: if they don't, you're in trouble.
Then I just keep running past
him.
Dave
right
just like veer
him
off to the side. Like, I just really got to go to the bathroom.
I really need a Milky Way.
If you charge someone and they don't move, you should probably stop.
Or you just run up to them full speed, stop, and go, yeah, I actually thought you would move. I wasn't expecting this.
This is what we call in nature a bluff charge.
Yeah, this is as far as my plan went.
You better pull up a good out of reach, though. Pull up out of reach.
You've called my bluff.
You pull up too close, that's probably going to get popped.
Dave goes back in the store like, I tried nothing and it didn't work.
If someone did that to you, what's your reaction? Or does it depend on who does it?
If someone comes running
like
at me?
They just start running at you.
I think I just get in a defensive position and get ready for whatever's coming.
Because it does depend on who it is.
Yeah. Right? I mean, if someone's running at me with a knife or a gun.
Oh,
I'm,
no, you're running.
I'm
running.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's exactly my point. Like, the situation is going to be, if a guy's coming at you and he looks like the size of a defensive lineman in the NFL. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge.
I'll tell you, I don't know what this says about me, but I'm also way more willing to run away if it's a woman.
I get that because you don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Because you end up, you're in an awkward situation and you're probably, I mean, like, who wants that?
Yeah, and who wants to tangle with the kind of lady that's
just running at
you? Well, that's fair, too. Good, though. This is my point originally,
she
right?
She could be the scariest one
to fight. If someone's coming at you.
No, Rage is right.
You definitely got to be wondering, okay, they're either nuts or they know what they're doing, one
like,
or the other.
Like, this man, did you run from the woman so you wouldn't have to hit her? No, I ran from her because I was scared.
She looked terrified. She looked crazy. Who charges someone?
It kind of leads me into another topic that was not related to this, but I was just curious. I saw some TikToks last night of guys with really expensive cars, and they look like the kind of guys you'd expect to look like and just sort of bros. And I thought, do people really care? Do people really, are they impressed? Are they mad? Do they not care at all? When you have a thing, a nice car, a nice house, a nice watch, are you really just doing it for you? Do other people notice, and are they impressed?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I think depending on, you can buy a really expensive, high-quality thing that's just for you, not showy. Maybe other people wouldn't even understand what it is. That's for you because you like it. If you are trying to be showy, you're going to get the attention of the kind of people that you want, honestly, other people who are impressed with those things, right? But I think just because something, if you buy a nice car or house or whatever it may be, it doesn't mean you're doing it for a bad reason because you want to show off to people. It can mean that, but it doesn't always have to be. I think it's like, you know, person to person, how you conduct yourself, how you act. We all know people who just name drop, brand drop, money drop. Like if there's a place that you know is expensive and they know it's expensive, and they just drop that they go there all the time. You know why they're doing that. Like you just do. There can be other people who go there all the time and don't mention it. It's how you carry yourself. I mean, I know we're all thinking of like different specific people in our lives. We're like, oh my gosh, that guy is such a brand dropper or a name dropper. Like, okay, buddy. I think that, but they probably impress the people who are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Would it keep you from buying something cool?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I still bought the Camaro, even though people have their judgments.
I mean, my Outback is pretty flashy.
You love that car.
I love that car so
every time
much.
I see a Subaru, I'm like, Amy would love that car.
I love Subarus. I mean, I don't want to show off, but yeah, I think, I mean, I don't think I've really been in a position to buy anything that's so impressive.
Yeah, me too. I'm over here like, yeah.
I was trying to think of what I've purchased.
Well, it doesn't have to be a big thing. I mean, it can be a choice of what you wear to a certain place for people that are going to be there.
Like, for example.
Like going to a reunion, you're trying to impress people. Like, I look better than all these goobers.
I would have trouble, with all due respect and appreciation to my friend Skip Weber, I would have trouble buying like a $125,000 Corvette.
Oh, not at all.
I would.
Okay, but now you wouldn't because every like Yukon costs 120 now. There's a bunch of soccer
moms driving Yukons. No, but there's going to be, I know what Dave's talking about, because there's going to be the immediate, oh, there you go, 60-year-old guy in a Corvette.
Yeah.
Well, so that is a money thing or an age thing?
You got to fight him. In that case, you can just race away.
I better run straight at him.
Yeah.
Is that because of money or like you don't want it to be like midlife crisis?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the general impression that people would have.
Yeah.
But like let's be honest. We all have a thing when we see somebody in a Cybertruck.
Like if it were.
We all go.
If it were 120. I wouldn't buy a $120,000 vehicle because it just hits my gag reflex.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I'm not that much of a car guy. But if it were like a subtle, nuanced vehicle, but something like that that just screams, look at me, I would have trouble.
Like, let's say the same price. Let's say you buy like a Denali or something, right? And you're carting around family and you can buy it. So you buy it. Does that strike you different than a similarly priced sports car?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And I shouldn't be like that. I mean, look at me. I'm judging old guys and young boys. if you're between 35 and 43, I'm cool with you. Other than that,
you can forget it.
Other than that, forget it. I judge you. and I will fight you. Unless you're a woman that's running at
me. Yeah, look like it.
And then I will not. I ain't got many friends that 152 DG Ass on KMOX. Remember that Monday we go to 104.1 FM. We keep telling you, because people outside of St. Louis are worried about it, 11:20 a.m. Is going nowhere. We'll be simulcasting there and 104.1 FM. 104 is going to sound a whole lot better than 11:20, pretty much, as long as you're somewhere within the city. We'll also be on 102.5 HD2, which I've never been able to find, but maybe you can. Scholars maintain. And then we'll be, of course, on the Odyssey app. And that all happens on Monday. What else? Oh, just for the people online who are asking, Rach, you can probably explain this better than me, but we can't play the intro music on Facebook.
Correct. We just get flagged every time we use it because it is copyrighted music. There's a difference between playing that out live over the air and then having that live on Facebook indefinitely. So for the time being, at least, you just won't hear intro music coming in and out. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah. But there's just really no way around it.
Because you have like a Dave Glover kazoo that plays for the stream. Yeah.
Take all your favorite songs and play them by kazoo. Yes.
Couple science things.
Yeah.
Someone, a scientist, not just like a guy, said that.
Somebody said, I don't know.
Andrew said the other day that the estimate is that each human being is made up of 1,000 supernovas. Because the things that make up, you know, calcium and everything that makes up a human body were born inside supernovas. And it probably wouldn't come from just one. So we could be an amalgam of 1,000 supernovas from time immemorial.
Very cool to think about.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You end up dressing like a little ump at 11 years old. So.
I mean, you know.
The poor kid.
It's just one of the many possibilities.
Yep. It is a multiverse. Somewhere there's a universe where it's everything's exactly the same, but there's a little ump. Well, I'm in that one.
All the real umpires are 10-year-old kids in that universe.
And then another thing, which, they're all little kids,
He's
but there's
lost.
There's one adult, and everyone's like, come on, dude, let the kids ump.
Come on. You're embarrassing yourself.
And the other thing is, and I think we've always known this intuitively, but again, it was a couple of neuroscientists and astrophysicists saying that we can keep trying to understand things, but there's every chance that trying to even conceive of what came before the Big Bang is like a dog learning calculus, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, every organism, to my knowledge, is limited in some way. We're limited, but it's just so fascinating that something that we can envision enough to ask a question, oh, the Big Bang, well, what happened right before the Big Bang? We can formulate that question, but the true answer could be you wouldn't get it. I could tell you, but you wouldn't understand it.
Maybe we aren't meant to know. I mean, that's how I comfort myself when my brain just kind of like hits up against the wall like that. I'm like, you know what? That's probably just not for me. I'm just not meant to know this. Mm.
I found it strangely comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe there's more stuff I'm not meant to know. Maybe I'll just stop thinking about all this stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a good strategy. I'm with you. That's what I do with those big ones. I'm just like,
have some Taco Bell.
Ain't figuring that one out.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.